Good afternoon and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Friday, to get you through another crazy, wild, maddening day of news. And we're going to figure out together live on the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH, streaming live on all those smart speakers like Amazon Echo and Google Home. Got a lot to get to. We only have, 2 hours left. More outlets are finally picking up on an issue that we've been sounding the alarms about for months, and that's What's Trending, brought to you by Guardian Roofing and Gutters.
What's Trending? Legal.
We've been telling you how mentally ill criminal suspects have been staying in jail instead of going into treatment at Western State Hospital or Eastern State. Like, you're supposed to go into treatment when a judge says you are not mentally capable of understanding the charges made against you. So we're going to put you into treatment to get you to a point where you can, in fact, understand the charges against you. But there are so few beds in the state of Washington that the people who are supposed to be going into treatment are instead staying in jail. And at some point, a judge will look at this case, an individual case, and say, I have no choice but to release you. Now, sometimes they stay in jail and they get paid every single day that they're in jail. We're spending a lot of money on that. We told you the case of Alexander J., who's in that exact same scenario. This is the guy who was accused of throwing a woman down a flight of stairs, then stabbing someone at random, and then shooting someone, murdering them at random. Those are the allegations. And the judge said, this guy's not mentally fit for trial. So let's send him to Western. Let's get him up to speed. Let's get him where he needs to be, and then we can move forward with the trial. He was supposed to be in a bed in October. He's still not. He's still in jail. And a judge a couple, 3 months ago said his rights are being violated. So you have to, the state has to pay him or the county has to pay him $219 or $209, something like that, every single day that he's not in jail or not in a bed. It's getting really, really, really bad. And of course, it's dangerous. Dozens of people are being released and they're dangerous people. And we told you back in October that John Cody Hart was released by a Clark County judge because he wasn't getting the mental health treatment.
I simply can't continue to hold him on the expectation that maybe someday they'll come pick him up. I do this with some reluctance as the charges against Mr. Hart are very serious and his motion to release is granted.
So you can tell he was concerned. You can tell. You can tell that clearly there was something that was uneasy, but of course he released them and then what happened? The guy allegedly murdered two people very well loved in a community in Idaho, New Meadows. In fact, the mayor's name is Julie Good. She spoke with King 5.
It's a grief like we haven't experienced before. And that's what I felt in the whole community. It was, no, this can't be. How is it that he is free to come into our small, quiet, beautiful community and wreak havoc, not just with the family's life, but with our lives?
That's what bad guys do. So we've been talking about this for a while, and I just mentioned she spoke with King 5. That means King 5 is suddenly talking about it, thankfully. And Susanna Frame, who is their only good investigative journalist there, she's the one who's on top of this story. And she writes, the record backlog has prompted judges across the state to release defendants on their own recognizance or to dismiss charges altogether, citing a violation of the defendant's constitutional right to receive medical care while in custody. Since 2018, charges dismissed due to long wait times include felony harassment, burglary, indecent exposure, hate crimes, and assault with a deadly weapon. Wow. Here's what's the most disturbing, I think, about this, because we can all agree this is a disturbing story. A position that we find ourselves in because the people in charge, and again, not to make this inherently political, but in this case it is, Democrats are choosing not to fund Western State Hospital or any mental health in any meaningful way in this state. They're the ones who are responsible for this. Republicans in the past have proposed legislation that doesn't go anywhere because they don't have the power. Here's what's most terrifying. There's no proposed solution. There's no proposed solution. There's no one talking about this. Now, it helps, obviously, that another media outlet outside of KTTH is getting involved. It helps. Is it going to be enough? Probably not. Probably not. And that means more people who should be in jail are going to be released. That means more people who should be in jail who are going to be released will end up recommitting some sort of crime. Maybe it'll be something just like a theft. Maybe it'll be something like a murder. Now, what's funny is in the story, they speak with the chief medical officer, Dr. Brian Whaleblinger. And he has a whole bunch of empty words. I want you to listen to something, and I want you to tell me if it's missing something. Okay, I want you to listen to this clip. Tell me what you think it's missing.
So we're working as hard as we can. If we can't create extra beds or we can't create staff out of thin air, what can we do to make things work better? I would not be doing this job if I didn't think there was hope. We are thinking innovatively. You know, what can we do differently?
Okay. What was missing? Did you catch what was missing? I know it's a weird way to phrase missing something. What did you?
I'm going to say substance.
Yeah. More specifically, what is it missing?
A solution.
He said he was thinking outside the box. He said he was thinking of all these things. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't think there was hope. So we're getting a little innovative. Okay. Did you hear anything that was innovative?
No.
Did you hear anything other than we're going to be more, we are being innovative? He sounded like they were being proactive, right? He sounded like we're in the midst of this right now. Sure, if we can't get the more beds, if we can't get more staff, you know, and obviously that's going to be up to the state because it needs funding. We're going to be innovative. Okay. What are you going to do? I don't know. What's the innovation? Oh, we'll be innovative. No, I got that. But what? How are you being innovative? By thinking outside of the box. I know that. But as you're thinking outside of the box, what are you coming up with? Innovative solutions. Yeah, but what are the solutions? Are you not listening? They are out of the box thinking solutions. Now you're just saying words over and over again. There's no solution. He literally provides no details. And that means this is going to continue and continue some more and continue some more. And unfortunately, it means that we're going to get a whole bunch of different stories in which innocent people will continue to be hurt, or people who desperately need treatment aren't getting it. So it's lose-lose across the board. It is lose-lose. So kudos for covering this, King 5, or at least Susanna Frame, who actually is good at what she does, unlike virtually everyone else who works there. But we need more. We need more than that. And the next time I hope any of these reporters are in front of lawmakers, because the Democrats won't come on this show. They know I'm going to ask them some questions that they won't like. But I certainly hope that someone actually asks a question about what their plans are. And when you get an answer like what we just heard from Dr. Whalebinger or Whaleblinger, that you push back and say, no, I got you. I hear you. Specifically, what are you going to do? You got to be relentless. You got to push back. Because if you don't, this is just going to get worse and worse and worse. And at some point, you're going to become the victim. That is the unfortunate reality. At some point, you or someone you love will become a victim. I hope I don't have to get to that point. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? You can't make this up.
Vito's restaurant in Seattle is offering $1,000 it doesn't really have for the safe return of a taxidermy cougar that was stolen over the Thanksgiving weekend. Apparently, someone broke into this restaurant, and I'm assuming they're a big Wazoo fan. Okay.
Has to be,
my guess,
right?
Or it's just creepy with a taxidermy cougar.
Weird.
I thought first it was just like a doll or like a statue or something. No, it says, at least in the Cairo 7 story, it says it's a taxidermy cougar. That means it was once a living cougar.
I guess that's accurate. I didn't really think about that.
Which is just, especially when you're eating, do you really want that staring at you?
Makes you wonder what's in the meatballs.
Oh, no, don't be mean to Vito's. I'm sure they're great. So someone broke in. They smashed the glass console in which this thing was being housed, and they stole it. And not only are they saying, we're going to give you $1,000 if you can get it safely returned. Safely. I think he means not destroyed. Safely. It's already dead, Vito. It's already dead. But they say you're going to get $2,000 if you're able to give information that leads to the arrest of the individual. And it says the arrest. It doesn't say the prosecution. So it's actually pretty
That's a lower bar.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly achievable. Now, in this Facebook post, and the reason why I said, you know, they're going to give out $1,000 they don't necessarily have, it's not just because restaurants, you know, restaurants don't have, they generally don't operate on anything other than a razor-thin margin. But they say in the Facebook post, the restaurant said it had already been dealing with water damage from a June fire, which is slightly ironic. I get it. You usually would say fire damage, but it's the water putting out the fire. And that the building is boarded up and inaccessible due to structural damage. So this is a business that presumably is putting money that they are earning, working hard to earn, into fixing up the actual restaurant, the physical location. And then having to deal with this is just absurd. Now, again, I suppose I can say I'm shocked that a taxidermy cougar was stolen. That very specific detail, I suppose, shocks me. But the idea that a business was targeted yet again in Seattle, a break-in, that things were stolen, that's not shocking to me. It's not. Because how many times do we do stories telling you exactly this story, this issue? How many times have we told you this exact same story, just a different restaurant or a different business? Someone breaking in, stealing things. We had Armistice Coffee, the owner, what, 3 weeks ago, come on? Telling us how they're constantly getting broken into. What was it, like 15 times or something? You're stealing the cash till, which $500 a piece. So they stop taking cash. Now they only take credit card. You had windows getting broken into. How many times have we done this exact same story? But I will say, you know, I get how people steal things that are easily sold on the black market. Fenced. This one, what are you doing with it?
That's what I want to know. Like,
is there a market for this?
Did they think it was going to be valuable? Did they just think, hey, this is unique, let's take it?
I guarantee that this is found at a homeless encampment, like guarding the encampment. They just put the cougar out there to scare the rats away or something.
Could be.
I feel bad for them. Not bad enough to go to Vito's. I don't even know where it is, and I don't go to restaurants.
You don't go to restaurants?
No.
Do you cook?
No.
Then what do you do? Just
I go to Whole Foods.
Photosynthesis?
I just go to Whole Foods.
And just get meals?
Mm-hmm.
Heat them up?
I sometimes do, I used to do DoorDash, but they're the worst. They really are. They're just the worst. And so I promise myself the last time they screwed something up, I'll never use it again. And then I use it again, and then they screwed it up. So I just deleted it from my phone to force myself not to use it. Because every once in a while, you're like, ugh. I don't want to go out. I'm lazy. I'm rich. Let's have someone bring me food. And they never
the worst.
No, they're the worst. I'm the second worst. Push the button.
What's trending? The coronavirus.
So Dr. Fauci gave an interview with the Washington Post. And he got into the conversation about what to do with misinformation. Which is different from disinformation, by the way. Misinformation. And I always find it ironic when Dr. Fauci is getting involved in these conversations, because he was amongst the public health officials who were knowingly putting out misinformation. He told us that if you get vaccinated, you will not catch COVID, that we'll get herd immunity at, what was it originally, 70% vaccination rate, I think it was, he said. He told us you can catch COVID outside. He told us you can catch COVID on surfaces. He said that kids were at risk. He gave us misinformation about the efficacy of masks. And at least, you know, Dr. Deborah Birx also lied, but at least she acknowledged late, but she acknowledged this year that they knowingly lied about the vaccine and whether or not it could stop the spread of COVID. They lied. And so when he goes out there and talks about how we really need to push back against misinformation, I find that rather hysterical.
To me, the best way to counter the dissemination of misinformation and disinformation is to get people with correct information to flood the system with correct information. We've got to be out there, people who you trust, who are trusted messengers, to get out there and put the truth out. It just seems to me.
Okay, I'll let him finish. I'll let you finish. I feel like I can't use that Kanye line anymore. I'll use it unironically.
Is that where that's from?
Yeah, I remember when Taylor Swift won the award and he came on. I'm going to let you finish, but first. You don't remember that?
I remember that. I didn't know that's what you were doing.
Yeah, I always take that.
Oh, I just figured you were just letting them finish.
I came up with it myself. So he's talking about the importance of having people who are trusted to be the bearers of the news, right? To deliver the news. What in the world are you talking about? How can he sit there and say that? I know that he thinks he's a hero in his own head, right? I get that. He believes that he's this huge hero. You're not a hero. You're the villain. You're still being lionized by a whole bunch of folks on the left with their little Fauci dolls. You still have folks out there who are praying to St. Fauci for a cure to COVID. But remember, this was the guy who told us rather matter-of-factly that COVID as a potential Wuhan lab leak, none. That is a conspiracy. Dr. Paul, you don't know what you're talking about. It's not even a possibility. No, I'm certain this is clearly human to human after mammal to human. How many times did we hear that from him? And then, by the way, last week he said, oh, no, I'm totally open to the idea that it came from a lab leak. It was a conspiracy beforehand, by the way, that anyone said it came from a lab leak. And it was called a conspiracy because of people like Dr. Anthony Fauci, who now is telling us we need to have more trustworthy people out there delivering information.
I didn't do a study on it, but from what I'm seeing from my experience is that the people who are spreading misinformation and disinformation seem to be relentless in their pursuit of spreading misinformation, whereas those who have correct information that would be beneficial to society just don't spend all their time spreading misinformation and disinformation. It's almost as if we're outgunned by the people who are spreading disinformation.
You're outgunned by the people who said the vaccine doesn't stop the spread of COVID. You're outgunned by the people who said kids don't have a significant negative reaction to COVID. You're being outgunned by the folks who said you can't catch COVID outside. So you're being outgunned by the people who were honest about things when you were lying. You're outgunned by the folks who said that kids, younger adults, have a higher risk of myocarditis as a result of the vaccine. You said that there was none. No side effects, we were told. And when people started to shine a spotlight on the very clear and serious issues, they were dismissed. Some of them were silenced from Twitter, as a matter of fact. You told us that this had nothing to do with changing the cycles of women. And yet now we have, what, two studies out showing that it does have an impact? So I'm okay with you being outgunned by those people. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? LGBTQIAADFHZ++.
I love that one. So a self-described disabled autistic lesbian on TikTok. It's a lot of code words there. She's from several marginalized communities.
She's got more patches than you do.
I'm sure she does. She put out a video on how she trains, quote unquote, her family to use proper pronouns when having conversations with her.
Here's my update. Sorry for the delay. My life is chaos on how I clicker trained my family to get my correct pronouns now that I'm a trans person. So first of all, a lot of people were asking what treat I was using. If you don't know, for service dogs, when they do something that we like, we click that behavior and then we give them a treat. I did not use it as a positive marker like that for my family because I'm not going to treat.
Because you're a bad person? Maybe should I fill in the blanks there before letting her finish? You didn't do it because you're a bad person. That she's using a clicker at all kind of makes you an insufferable human being that none of your family members want anything to do with you. And by the way, at that point, if they're quote unquote misgendering you, they're doing it to bother you because you're a bad person. Because I guarantee you that before it was done in error, presumably. And I'm assuming, I don't even, is she a transgender or lesbian? Because I don't
know. Yeah, can you be both of those things?
I suppose you can be a transgender lesbian, but that just makes you a heterosexual male who presents as a woman. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Them for basic human decency. I instead used it as a negative marker. So every time they said she, I would click so that they would start to associate a click with a she in their head and would start to automatically self-correct.
So she's a he, but a lesbian he? You can't
I
be
think
a
it's
lesbian
a they,
he.
Right?
But can you be a lesbian if you're not a female?
I don't know.
What is a lesbian?
That,
a woman who's in love or who's attracted to another woman.
Right? So, yeah, well, see, this is where
so
we get into a whole other ball.
So how can you have a different gender identity and not a woman?
Well, maybe it's just maybe the lesbian thing is just a screen name.
There's no way that's true.
I forgot to take into account the fact that I have an auditory processing disorder and live at like a 15-second delay from everybody and everything else. And so I wasn't able to click as much as I wanted to, so it wasn't super effective on that aspect. I think I'm going to need a new invention that counteracts auditory processing in order to get that right.
Yeah, you need a new invention so that you can be even more of a jerk. Like, I'm just waiting for that invention so I can be even more insufferable and mean-spirited to the people in my life who love me, but, you know, they're confused by me being not a woman but also a lesbian.
But I did explain to them what this was for and why I was doing it, and then I carabinered it to my hip at all times, and I definitely had several occasions where a family member would start to say something, look at it, pause, and then purposefully gender me correctly. And that happened at least 3 or 4 times. So it was effective, but not entirely.
So, of course, she's lying there, by the way. When you have a conversation with someone face-to-face, do you ever use a personal pronoun?
No.
Because
I don't think so.
Of course not. If I'm looking at you, I don't say, hey, Max, you don't do that. So this whole idea of, you know, people were going to... No, they weren't. You're just making this up in your own head. And by the way, you're amplifying this message as if this is somehow cool or something that is a novel idea that other people should tackle when clearly they shouldn't. The IRS continues to be aggressive, and that means they're increasing the numbers of officers in Washington State. Do not try to take on the IRS yourself. Contact our local tax expert and advocate, Greg Nunn, at Nunn Better Tax Resolution. He will help. N-U-N-N, Nunn Better Tax Resolution. When we come back, we dive into the big local with a story of parents saying, yeah, I'm taking control of our school board. We're done. We'll tell you what's going on in Olympia when we come back. This hour of the Jason Rancho, brought to you by 3010weightlossforlife.com.
Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rance Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that. It's 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services. Online at alpineclean.com. It's a part of the show where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle, and instead we focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. And we start in Olympia. The Olympian is not happy that parents are getting activated in their community. Activated out of their disgust and anger and, frankly, terror that Talana Reed was appointed to the school board. Talana Reed is someone we've covered extensively on this show. A former candidate for Olympia City Council. Thankfully, she was rejected because she doesn't hold very many important or interesting views. But she does hold views that are pretty antagonistic towards cops. They're all murderers, apparently. That's how she views police. And she, of course, embraced, and we played audio in the past, we don't have to do it again, but she embraced the destruction of her own community in order to get people to pass whatever strategies or policies or laws around policing that she supported. She was pro-riot. And she's got a very, very lengthy criminal history, according to reports. So I want to read to you just the... We'll hear from one of the mothers who is on a crusade, and I mean that in a positive way, to get her removed, because now she wants, and other parents want, the entire school board to just resign. And they're circulating a petition. But I want to read to you the introduction to the story from The Olympian. And tell me if this sounds judgy and angry that someone dare question Talana Reed. Not to taint the well at all, but this is the same newspaper that the last two times we read from and covered this story. They said in the report, basically, that you're a racist if you wanted to go after Talana Reed. That was the implication. So here's the story's intro. An Olympia parent went on a Seattle radio talk show Tuesday to promote a petition calling for the entire school board to resign for appointing Talana Reed as a member. Alicia Perkins created Olympia School District Rescue, a grassroots organization, an associated petition. Dory Monson of Cairo News Radio, 97.3 FM, hosted Perkins on his show, giving her a platform to criticize Reed and the school board. Oh my gosh, he gave her a platform to criticize Reed and the whole school? Whoa. That's serious. That's serious. If only he gave Talana Reed a platform to attack cops, then they wouldn't be so upset. So I'm going to give her a platform of her platform. Alicia created that group, and she told Dory Monson about it.
Last year, she said in an interview in front of our city hall, downtown Olympia, she said, I quote, they've, meaning law enforcement, have deemed me a security threat, and they should. This is when she was running for city council. You know, as these things have come out, more and more parents are saying, like, how do we have a board that allowed this to happen?
Yeah, fair enough. Very valid criticism. And she notes that Talana Reed has, in her view, lied about her criminal record.
The board had, you know, in the previous hour been presented with her entire criminal history, which, you know, it includes felonies, misdemeanors spanning almost 25 years, violent crimes, thefts, assaults. You know, this is not a minor bounced check. So to deliberately mislead the public like that is unconscionable.
Agreed. She's 100% correct. And she, of course, is not just upset now with Talana Reed. She's upset, number one, with the school board for appointing her. But number two, the school board is like criticizing the people who have fair criticisms. You're a racist because you're going after Talana Reed, who happens to be black. You're a racist. You're an absolute racist. And so now Alicia Perkins and 800 others, at least as of yesterday, I haven't seen the updated signature on the petition today, but as of yesterday, it was 800 signatures telling folks on the school board, you need to step down. You need to resign. We no longer support you.
The other four members of the school board have completely 100% stuck by her. They have said that they are 100% supportive of her. One of the board members went so far as to say that we have abused Reed. They have accused us of racism. Anyone that has questioned this, regardless of the evidence provided, that has literally nothing to do with race. Race has never been mentioned at all by anyone having an issue with Ms. Reed's appointment.
It's so disgusting how people use race in this way. You weaponize someone's race. It's just, it's despicable. It's disgusting. This is what it looks like when someone gets activated in their community. I really do like that term because it's doing something more than just getting angry. It's a call to action. It's a call to action. It's saying that we're not okay with the reality that you've created for us, and we're going to change it. We're going to do what we can to change it. And so that's exactly what they're trying to do. Ultimately, a petition doesn't mean anything. It's symbolic, but it does send a powerful message. And I don't know what mechanism exists for a recall. I don't know what the procedure is in Olympia. But I do know that by relentlessly focusing on this, the next time any of them are up for re-election, it's not going to be so easy. Beyond that, it might inspire other people, maybe even Alicia Perkins, to step up and run herself. I think it's important. Meanwhile, the Everett Herald reports that 8 Snohomish Regional Fire and Rescue firefighters who were placed on unpaid leave for violating the COVID vaccine policy, well, they're now suing for back pay and the vacation days that they missed and other benefits that they might have lost when they were off their job, when they were suspended. According to the employment discrimination suit, the plaintiffs can establish a prima facie case of discrimination. They have a bona fide religious belief which conflicted with the employer's policy. They placed their employer on notice of the conflict. The employer took adverse action against them. I hope, I pray that they win this lawsuit. Now, 5 of the plaintiffs are back on the job. 2 of them are not. They're still on unpaid leave. I'm not sure why. But the fact of the matter is, they are now getting their jobs back because of the desperate need for staff. They fired a whole bunch of people, and it wasn't just Snohomish, right? I mean, this was happening all across the state. Firefighters, medics, police officers. so many others, they were fired for not getting the vaccine. And the reason behind the vaccine policy to begin with was that it stopped the spread of COVID. As much as I would disagree with that as a policy, if that were the case, at least I would understand where they're coming from. They want to stop people from getting sick. Sick people end up taking time off. People taking time off for long periods of time means that, in this case, the public is at risk. But the vaccine does not stop the spread of COVID. It does not stop the spread. You can still get it. You can still pass it along. And yet some people decided to still, because they're incredibly, incredibly stubborn, decided to stick with the policy. Some decided to walk it back and let these people back to work. So weird how all of a sudden they're not a threat, by the way. You couldn't accommodate them back then, but now suddenly you can accommodate. What's changed? The staffing situation. That's it. And none of them will admit, by the way, they'll never say sorry. None of the people in power. They will never say, our bad. Didn't mean to do this. We were working under false information. When we found out it was truly false, we decided to make amends and bring you back. None of that. And I bet you, by the way, some of those apologies could have prevented a lawsuit. These people are absolutely 100% owed back pay, their accrued vacation time, and any other benefits that were lost during the time that they were forced out of their job. And then finally, a little bit of an update. There's now actually a suspect who has been identified, not by name, but by photo. It's up at the Fox 13 website, Q13.com. A suspect who allegedly assaulted a high school football coach from the opposing team. This was out of Yelm High School, where their football coach was walking back to his car after he won, or his team won, the semifinals against Bellevue. And while he was in the parking lot, some dude came up to him from behind and punched him in the head. The coach was knocked to the ground. He then was kicked by other people in the group, which I don't believe they've been able to identify yet. But the main attacker was listed as a Bellevue fan and was upset with the loss. I mean, it was 28-27. I would have been upset too. I probably would not have. Well, no, I wouldn't have punched it. Well,
I don't know. Bellevue fans aren't used to losing.
Yeah, that's true. Didn't they have a controversy?
Yeah, I think their coach got fired. Butch Goncharov.
Okay, he wasn't the one who was punched.
No.
Well, this was Yelm. Obviously, this is sad. Obviously, this is outrageous. Hopefully, we find out who this person is. They didn't give a name, and he looks... Did you see the photo?
Yeah.
Is he an adult? I can't...
Doesn't look like it, right?
I don't know. It looks like a hybrid adult and child. I honestly can't tell. It's either... Here's the funny thing. If you told me that he was 16... Or if you told me he was 38, I would believe you.
Yeah, 100%.
I could not quite figure out anything. Like, who is this dude? Pierce County Sheriff's PIO Darren Moss spoke to Fox 13.
As far as what we were told and what we know, there was nothing that started. There was no fight or argument that occurred prior to this. Coach was simply walking back to his vehicle and somebody attacked him from behind. There's no excuse. It's, you know, you're a spectator, be a spectator. The assistant coach, there's no reason to take it out on him either, or they thought it was a fan or whatever. There's no reason to go after somebody over a game.
He's 100% correct. And I think I said this the other day. I don't understand the level of, we'll call it passion, for lack of a better term, because I guess it's technically passion. I don't get that kind of reaction. And I'm in awe. I'm a little bit in awe because I'm not that passionate about stuff. And this guy is so passionate about a high school team that maybe he... I'm assuming he didn't ever play for them, because they probably would have been able to identify him easier with a name. But you're so into the sport that you don't even play, and you're attacking... Not even... Go for the quarterback. Well, you know, don't go for the quarterback, but wouldn't you go for a player? Why would you go for the coach?
I mean, this strikes me as a parent, right? This has to be somebody...
He doesn't look old enough to be a parent.
Well, you'd be surprised these days.
No, that's true. That's fair. I don't think he's a parent.
That has to... Who else acts like that?
Wouldn't they have been able to identify him if he was a parent?
Maybe. I don't know.
He's got to be... He's going to be... Here's what's going to happen. He's going to be a friend of a family member of someone who plays for the team. That's my guess. That's my guess. And that person... But it's harder to find that one family that knows the guy. And my assumption is they might not be all that willing to rat him out. Although they should. I can't wait to rat him out or, you know, tell you his name. I just want to know how old he is. I'm not wrong. He looks like an adult, but also a child.
I really thought it was, yeah, I seemed like a stock photo of like a Bellevue football player or something.
Very weird. 1-800-465-8770 for your texts. Welcome back to the Jason Ranch Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. I'll be on Tucker Carlson tonight talking about Sam Bankman-Fried and how he is a little cozy with some Democrats. A little too cozy for comfort. Wondering whether or not he's actually going to get kid gloves or some aggressive questioning if he ever dares to get in front of a House committee panel. That so happens the person who is head of was photoed with him, very all smiles, let's just say. So I'll be talking about that on Tucker Carlson later this evening. If you can't catch it live, it's all good. You can catch it online. Head on over to youtube.com/Jason Rants. youtube.com/Jason Rants. So Tim Cook is the CEO of Apple, and he was on the Hill this week taking some questions from lawmakers, except the problem is that he's kind of pro-China censorship, which is why he helped turn off a function of the iPhone that allowed folks who are currently protesting to communicate with each other. And Fox News reporter was with him as he was coming out of one of the panel sessions, and she tried to get an answer.
Do you support the Chinese people's right to protest?
Maybe he didn't hear her. Is that possible?
Do you have any reaction to the factory workers that were beaten and detained for protesting COVID lockdowns?
I mean, it's unlikely he missed the second question.
Do you regret restricting airdrop access that protesters used to evade surveillance from the Chinese government?
I thought he was going to answer that one.
Do you think it's problematic to do business with the Communist Chinese Party when they suppress human rights?
He's not going to answer that one. I almost am envious of the person who can stand to not even make a snarky response. He should turn to her. If I was him and I was trying to cover up the fact that I was in bed with Communist China and suppressing the free speech rights, well, they don't really have them in China, of protesters, I would probably say, do you really think I'm dumb enough to answer that? Which would then, of course, become the story. But I think he thinks by keeping silent that it doesn't become a story, but the story then becomes about his silence. So I'm not entirely sure he was ever in a win-win scenario at that point. So why not just, I don't know, answer some questions and be honest about what's going on? It seems to me that by being silent on some of those questions, you're telling us, well, actually, yes, you are in fact on the side of China, that you are in bed with them, that you don't want to hurt your market share of your iPhone and other Apple products in China. It's kind of disgusting. It's pretty despicable. And what I love about this is, other than conservatives, I don't know anyone who's calling this out, right? Have you seen any left-wing outlets call this out?
No.
I haven't seen any of that. And yet you have the Chick-fil-A founder personally donate money to a Christian organization, and there were calls for boycotts. How many times have we had boycotts of businesses because of a even just perceived conservative owner? What was that Mexican food cut? Foya, whatever that one
Goya.
Is. Goya.
The beans.
Yeah. Oh, outrage because he happens to be conservative, or at least leans conservative. And yet this is a guy who is helping an evil regime go after protest. Like, what? You can still like your iPhone. You can still purchase your iPhone. You can also call them out. I guess I don't understand. Is it because this is perceived as a conservative issue? It shouldn't be. I don't look at supporting the protesters or not as a liberal or conservative issue. This is just about human rights. And that is supposed to be above party politics. And dare I say, if you do ask the average person and you give them the details on what's going on, because since it's not getting that much coverage outside of Fox News and KTTH, if you actually give someone the details on what's going on and what Apple did, I think most people would say, Apple is in the wrong and the Chinese government is in the wrong. So why is there no outrage? Seriously, why is there no outrage at all? Enes Kanter Freedom, former NBA star. Was he ever a star? He was a player.
He was a player.
Okay. I'm going to say he's a star. He was on Fox News to discuss.
And whenever I have seen that he did not want to answer the question, I was like, shame on him. It's just so sad to me when the CEOs picking money and business over their morals, values, and principles. And we need to do whatever we can to stand with our, brothers and sisters in China who are protesting bravely to end their sick of this brutal regime of Chinese government.
The odd thing here for me personally is, I don't want to use the term I don't mind, but I understand why a company might choose business over morals and values. A company is not supposed to, at its purest form, care about much more than providing a product or service for money in exchange. That's what they do. They're not thinking beings. These are not organisms. A corporation is a corporation. It is obviously, from a moral standpoint, you would want them to get more involved. But again, I guess I understand why a business doesn't want to get involved in it. Then just say that. Say, look, we operate all over the globe. We are a global company. We believe our product or service or whatever it is makes life better for individuals, for consumers. And we can't provide for them our services if we're not in the market. And so we, just as a matter of politicking, unless it impacts us directly. Now, in this particular case, they can't really do that because they did turn off the AirDrop service, which directly helped China. Well, then defend that. Then just defend that, because what they're doing is they're counting on media outlets not covering the story and not covering what it is they are accused of doing. And right now, I guess, hey, kudos to him. I guess it is the smart strategy. CNN's not covering it. We're not seeing it on MSNBC. We're not seeing it in the New York Times or anywhere. So maybe it is a smart strategy. And does that say more about the media than it does about Apple? Maybe. 1-800-465-8770 for your text messages. Really appreciate your text. Don't forget, I'm on Tucker Carlson later tonight. One more hour of the show coming up.